It really started with you and Roy, James. So
yeah, that's yeah.
How you and Roy got together, started playing the, you know, as a duo.
Right.
How'd that start?
Well, that started back in 1948. That's about 46 years ago.
Goodness.
When we moved to Wink, Texas, I was 12 years of age, and so was Roy. And we both played guitars, and we'd just get together after school in the evenings and play, and he'd sing, and we did that up until about 1952. And that's about the time we had our other friends, you, Billy Pat, and Richard West, and Charles Evans, all come together, you know, just as a way of enjoying our music and our singing. We come together and just begin to play.
Yeah, I remember whenever you and Roy would get together, you lived across the street from the school, didn't you?
Right, uh-huh.
And we'd go over there, and a lot of us, and listen to the two of you playing. Next thing I remember is that Richard West played in the piano. Did you go to his house next?
Yeah, we went to his house and you know, to practice. And too, I think you began to come over.
Yeah, I'd hang around and listen.
Yeah.
And I brought some drumsticks, started beating on the couch or something.
That's right. And gradually, you know, we added Charles Evans.
And you taught him how to play the bass.
Right, uh-huh.
He didn't know how to play the upright bass, so you taught him how to do that.
Right, uh-huh.
Well, let me interject something here that I just remembered. I was going to school there at Wink.
That's right.
Wink, too. I was in the sixth grade.
Right.
And I remember when you, James, and Roy, and I'm not sure you were there yet, but it was just before I moved away to Odessa, which is, what, 50 miles away. And I used to come over there when you guys were playing, and I would take a matchbook cover, and I think I used James's mama's broom, and I would do rhythm.
Right.
I mean, I wanted to play guitar real bad, but I didn't have one and didn't know how anyhow.
Take a broom, huh?
And I would beat rhythm on that guitar. I remember doing that, but I think it was after that I moved away, and that's when you guys put the whole group together with Charles and Richard West.
Right, uh-huh. Yeah, I remember you being there.
Well, James, thinking back, it seemed like our first public appearance, if you want to call it that, was at a school auditorium assembly.
Right.
There in the high school. What do you remember what brought that about? I remember we did it, but I don't remember how it evolved.
You know, I really believe that some of the kids there in school, you know, not just the five of us, but others, had come to listen while we practiced.
Uh-huh.
And I think it just word got around, and I think they invited us to come and be a part of an assembly.
Yeah, I remember we played at the high school there. A few, I guess they were probably country western songs, weren't they?
Right, uh-huh.
Did Roy sing a Lefty Frizzell song?
Yeah, and probably <the last. laughs>
He was a Lefty Frizzell fan, I know that.
Yes, yeah.
I remember we played that, and then Mr. Lipscomb, who was the superintendent, invited us to go down to the Lions Club lunch and entertain the local dignitaries at the Lions Club meeting. And I remember we went down there a time or two.
By that time, I had moved away at that point.
And our repertoire was, what, about three songs?
I think maybe four or five.
And then the next thing I remember happening was the Mr. Lipscomb was running for district something or another. What was it, of the Lions Club?
District Governor.
District Governor of the Lions Club, which is a regional thing, I guess, or district.
Yeah.
He invited us to go to the different towns and entertain the local dignitaries again.
Right.
We did that a few times.
You guys went on the road, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we even went to the National Lions Club meeting in Chicago.
Yeah, I know. We talked our way into that. But I do remember the whole thing, I think, that brought it to our minds that, hey, we've got something unique going here. I think, was it McKamey that we went to that Lions Club luncheon, and they came up to us afterwards and asked us if we'd play a dance?
Right.
Wasn't that McKamey?
Yeah, McKamey, Texas. That's right.
And we said, sure, I guess. We didn't know anything about it. And they were going to pay us, I don't know, something like $300, $250, $300, quite a bit of money. Back in those days,
it was a lot of money.
Yeah, minimum wage was $1.25 an hour, and most people were getting minimum wage.
Right.
And I think there were five of us in the band, Richard West playing the piano, Charlie Evans on the bass,
uh-huh.
You on the mandolin, Roy lead guitar and singing, me on the drums.
Yeah.
And we did that dance, and I remember before that we had to go to the... One at the community center, James, where we'd sit there and every night we could, and we had to get up enough songs so we could even perform a dance.
That's right. We
remember all the hours we put in?
Sure did.
I mean, it was rushed, too. Cause
we couldn't do it. We couldn't hold a dance with three songs.
Oh, no. But I remember we worked up a lot of songs in a quick amount of time.
We sure did. You know, it wasn't all country music. We had a lot of instrumentals that we played that was... popular music.
Yeah. Well, James, I remember you had a tremolo. Remember that? That had a vibrating sound?
Yeah.
Was that called a tremolo?
Yeah, it was a tremolo.
Now, who had that, you or Roy?
Well...
Or both of you went...
I played through the tremolo, and he had the Echoplex. You remember that one? It's the same type of amplifier. It had a tape recorder on it.
Well, that came later, didn't it?
Yeah. I guess I played the tremolo... I played the mandolin through the tremolo.
Yeah. I thought that was a nice sound.
Yeah.
I really liked that. Anyway, things kind of rocked along, played a little dance here and there, victory dance after the football games, and maybe a few assemblies at the high school. And then after graduating, me and Roy and Richard went to North Texas State in Denton, Texas, and James, you and Charlie had another year to go. In high school.
Uh-huh.
So the band, you know, just didn't do anything during that year. And while we were at North Texas, but Roy took a class in stage band.
Mm-hmm.
They had a great stage band department up there. And he had a guy that gave him some good tips on playing the guitar. And the next semester, I got into it, and I learned a lot about drumming that I didn't know before. Found out I was doing everything wrong. And, and while we were up there at North Texas, I remember Roy, he would practice on the guitar all the time. Instead of studying books like he should be, he was practicing on the guitar, and he came up with all these pretty chords and all that stuff. So he really progressed a lot with his guitar at college. And we met a guy named Wade Moore, who was in the fraternity there close to a place where I worked. I worked at a place called Dyke's Corner, which was a little quick food eatery place. And I was a waiter, and the fraternity guys would come in there all the time, and met a guy named Wade Moore, who was a very nice guy. We liked him real well, and anyway, he and a guy named Dick Penner had written a couple of songs. One was Ooby Dooby,
mm-hmm.
and the other one was Wild Women. Remember that one, James?
Yeah.
And I always liked that song, even though we never did play it.
But,
and Roy got to kind of playing with them and got to meet with them quite a bit and became friends. And then when we left college... Well, let me back up one more incident of import, I think, while we were at college. Elvis Presley came out with That's All Right and Blue Moon of Kentucky.
Right, uh-huh.
And, of course, all the kids our age, most all the kids anyway, liked that. And I know Roy and I really liked it a lot. So we really got into that type of music. We really liked it. And I remember as the Wink Westerners, we used to play Kalijah.
Uh-huh.
And who was the artist on that? I don't remember.
Hank Williams.
Okay, Hank Williams. And yep. Anyway, I remember we was up in the room where we were staying, and we were going to try to write a song kind of like That's All Right or something rock and rollish. I said, well, why don't we jazz something up? Let's take Kalijah and jazz it up. So we took.
Incidentally, I don't think you were thinking. It's a wrong term there because the word, the phrase rock and rollish, or rock and roll hadn't come about
yet.
Yeah,
I know. But whatever that stuff was called, rockabilly, I guess it was back then. But anyway, we took Kalijah and changed the words on it and changed it up a little bit. But anyway, that was the nucleus of the whole song. We rewrote that song, Go, Go, Go. Uh-huh. Kalijah was a wooden Indian. You can't be my loving baby. If you look at it real close, there are some similarities. Anyway, we wrote that song just fooling around, messing around. And then we left college after that freshman year, went back to Wink, and then we got the band back together again. And now Richard had left. He joined the Navy, hadn't he, James, by then?
Yeah, he joined. I think he quit college.
Yeah, he quit college. He didn't even finish the first year.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Went back, I think, joined the Navy. And so we got back. So there was the four of us, James, you, and Charlie, and me, and Roy.
Uh-huh.
So we got the band back together again, and then...
Well, somewhere along the line, where I found out you guys had stayed together and were still playing is... One Friday night, me and some guys that I was going to school with, we were running around, we was going to go out for the evening, and we stopped by my friend's house, and they had a television set. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it was about the first time I'd ever seen a television set. And you guys were playing. It was right after the 6:30 news, 6 o'clock newscast.
Was that on KMID at night?
KMID.
Yeah.
And I saw... I was number one. I was enamored by this TV set. I'd never seen one, but then I got to looking at who was on there, and it was you guys playing. And I told everybody that I was there with. I said, "Hey, I know those guys. You know, I used to go to school with them." And I said, "Yeah, yeah." And what was really strange is that night I had a little old Ford, I think, a little old 42 Ford. It had a 46 engine in it. A very cool car. And that night, something happened where the guys couldn't do what we had planned that evening. And I was just kind of cruising around, and I went to this drive-in out on Highway 80, which was the first drive-in coming in from KMID that you guys would run into coming back into town. Anyhow, I pulled up into there, and I saw this trailer, and you guys had the name on the trailer. And I thought, well, these are the guys who were playing. I wonder if they remember me. And I pulled up right beside him. I was going to pull in there and get a Coke. And I pulled in there, and that's when I ran into you guys.
Huh.
And we all got reacquainted. And you guys had just moved into a duplex?
On Walnut Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
how do you remember that?
Look up there.
I remember half of that duplex was clean. Don't you remember that, James? Yeah, me and James roomed together, and Roy and, who was it, James Blackburn,
yeah,
had the other bedroom, and
yeah,
theirs was filthy, and mine and James was always clean.
Always clean.
But anyhow, you guys, I think Roy asked me to come by, because you guys didn't have the TV show on Channel 7 in Odessa yet. You were just doing the KMID show. Anyhow, I went by on Saturday afternoon, and that's when we got sitting around talking. And I think on about Tuesday, Roy got. I saw you guys in the afternoon. I just gotten off work or whatever I was doing, and I saw you guys there at the duplex. I went by, and Roy says, "Do you know how to play bass?" Because at that point, I think Charles had dropped the bomb on you guys.
Well,
that,
you know, Charles had already gone, because when we moved to the duplex in Odessa, we were going to go to college, so Charlie was no longer with us. We didn't have a bass player.
Oh, okay. Well, that afternoon, Roy says, "Can you play bass?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "Well, let's go find out." So we went down to Armstrong Music,
yeah,
and we found a bass. They had a bass sitting up down there, and old Roy says, "Can you do this?" And he got on the G string and the D string, and he says, and he pulled it, and then he bounced his hand twice on the strings, and then he pulled the D string. And then he pulled the G string and the D string, and he bounced his hand in between, and he said, "Can you do that?" And I said, you know, I just went boom, da da boom, da da boom. He said, yeah, you can play bass. You know? So what I did is I did school for the better part of a week trying to find a bass that I could get without a down payment because I didn't have any money. And on Friday afternoon, and see, that this is, I'm interjecting this here because this is, was the damnedest type of a turning point in my life. On Friday afternoon, I finally went down there, and there was that same bass sitting in Armstrong Music. And I had gotten a hold of Roy and told him that I didn't have a bass, but that they had one at Armstrong, and I didn't, they wouldn't let me have it without any money, you know?
I wonder why.
And anyhow, so we went down there, and Roy told him that Jack's playing, he's going to be playing bass with us, and that he can pay for the, he can make weekly payments on the bass, but we needed to take it because he needed to play with us. So at 5:30, we walked out of there with that bass.
Nothing down?
Nothing down.
How much was it, do you remember?
Oh, it was a biggie. It was about $300.
Oh, boy.
And I went to the duplex with you guys and practiced the songs we were going to be doing on KMID.
That night?
At 6:30, an hour from
so
now.
So you faked that first program, huh, Jack?
Oh, not the first dozen. Anyhow, we practiced the songs, and then we went from there to KMID and played, starting from 6:30 to 7, we played the TV show. Then we went to the county auditorium on 8th and County Road and played a show, and Chuck Berry was the headliner, and nobody knew who in the hell he was. And that was right in the middle of that song, one of the songs, I Got Lost, which I got lost in a lot of them, but this one just exasperated me. And I didn't know what else to do, so I started dancing until I could try to figure out what I was supposed to be playing, you know. And finally, Jamie started telling me, it's G, G, G to C. And when he told me, that's when I quit dancing and went back to the song, and I said, yeah, that sounds right. And, of course, the crowd went nuts. They thought all that stuff was planned, mm-hmm. You know. And then we finished that show, and I can remember Chuck Berry, I can hear him playing in there, because while we were packing up, we had to play at the Archway. And we played, so the first night I was ever in the business, I had my instrument at 5:30 that afternoon. And we played a TV show and the equivalent of a concert type thing, because they had about six acts on that thing at the county auditorium. And then we drove to Monahan's and played the job there.
Huh.
And when we got through that night, I mean, I was...
But your fingers were sore, huh?
Oh, God, I had blisters you can't imagine.
Yeah, but to back up...
Had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, James, remember when we first... How did we first get on TV? Do you remember? I know it was in Saturday afternoon. There was kind of like a jamboree where they had a bunch of different bands. Western bands.
And I could be wrong. Maybe this will ring a bell to you. But Pioneer Furniture Company had a contest. And they had a bunch of bands, you know, that come together and played. And they were going to pick a band out of that group that they were going to sponsor. And when we played on Channel 7 and Pioneer Furniture, well, I guess they sponsored us out at KMID, too.
We went with KOSA later.
Right.
On Saturday afternoon.
And I think it was a result of what we'd been doing on Friday nights at KMID, and that's when Pioneer Furniture bought the time for us to be on Channel 7 on Saturday afternoon.
So we were sponsored by Pioneer on both of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, $25 a week?
$25 a show per man.
Not per man, per band.
That's right.
$5 a piece.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Coffee and donuts.
Good grief.
But we looked at it as promoting our dance.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Oh, boy, it did. Yeah, we got busy after that.
Yeah,
I do remember one night, though, we played on a night before a holiday at the Archway in Monahan's. And I remember we were playing for the gate, and I remember we got 75 cents a piece and a pack of spearmint gum.
I don't remember that.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, I remember the 75 cents a piece. At a dance, yes, and that must have been it right there.
I think that was the one, and I thought I came out a little better than everybody else because I think I had the pack of gum.
I don't remember that. I must have shortchanged you guys.
I can't imagine you not remembering that one, Better Dad, because you were the money-conscious guy in the group.
I don't remember that one.
Anyhow, that's...
Anyway, I remember also, Jack, was playing at, on West County Road in Odessa, there was a...
Community center
type deal. I remember we were playing there. I was thinking that's where we actually first met you and Little Johnny. Maybe that's where we first met Little Johnny.
Well, John came in quite a bit later.
Yeah.
It was just the four of us for quite some time.
Well, maybe Little Johnny came up. We met him there. Do you remember where we first met Johnny, James?
No, I really don't.
Well, see, I knew Johnny.
Yeah.
I had worked with Johnny at Moore System grocery stores, and we ran around together some. When we were kids, before we even had a car, you know. And we were both in high school, I guess.
For the listeners, or whoever will be listening, this is Johnny Wilson, also known as Peanuts.
Peanuts Wilson.
Little short guy with a big personality.
Yeah.
Neat little guy.
He was 5'1",
5'2", something like that.
And he had the biggest Martin jumbo guitar he could get.
Almost as big as he was.
Yes, it was. It dang near as tall as he was. And
James, do you remember how we became the Teen Kings?
Well, I do know that more and more, you know, to appeal to the younger people, we played more and more rock and roll.
Uh-huh.
And I think at some point in time, we just decided that we needed a name change.
Do you remember how we went about that?
No, I really don't.
We had a contest. Name the band contest.
Name the band contest.
That's when we were playing on TV and we had all these entries came in.
Yeah.
You can't imagine some of the names.
One that sticks out in my mind is Roy Orbison and the Video Jamber Jeans. I do remember that one.
Yeah, Video Jamber Jeans. And
but anyway, we had quite a few suggestions or entries that came in.
We had 65 of them.
And we didn't like any of them. So,
right. I think
we picked the Teen Kings.
And we picked the Teen Kings, but I think we set up somebody so everybody wouldn't be ticked. We set up somebody as the winner, but I can't remember who
it was. I don't know. There was no prize ever given, I know that.
No.
It just faded away.
Yeah.
But I remember there were a lot of funny names that came in. Do you remember any funny names?
With the Video Jamber Jeans. Oh, yeah, there was one I remember. Little Roy and the Joy Boys. Those are the two that I remember. Little Roy and the Joy Boys. And Video Jamber Jeans.
That's how we became the Wink Westerners. Teen Kings. We had to get away from the Wink Westerners because we weren't just Western. Like I say, we evolved from more or less country music to more of the rock and roll style.
Right.
And we're playing dances, have a TV show, and then we were playing jamborees and stuff. I remember at Jow. And there was, now this is your domain, James. What was this girl named Oliver girl?
Jeannie Oliver.
Jeannie Oliver. And her dad was, who was he?
Wasn't his name C.C. Oliver?
Yeah. You're talking about Jeannie's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe you're exactly right.
C.C. Oliver.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mr. Oliver and...
Weldon Rogers.
Weldon Rogers came up with the idea of cutting a record, or producing a record, I guess you call it. And they got us to go up to Clovis, New Mexico, Norm Petty... Is that what, Norm Petty?
Norman
Petty Studios. And we cut Ooby Dooby backed by Trying to Get to You.
Uh-huh.
And we cut that one record and sold 10 copies, I think. I don't know how many. Do we ever get a royalty check off? I don't think we ever did.
I don't think we ever did.
What they did is they finally sold a total of 500 copies, but I think about half of those were given away.
Yeah, probably. A lot of done with promotion and stuff. But anyway... Now, this guy that owned the record company in Odessa is Hollifield?
Pop
Hollifield.
I think his name was.
Okay.
We took that record by and played it for him on a Friday. And
how do you remember these Fridays and Tuesdays?
Well, I'll tell you why I remembered it. You'll remember, too. You'll remember, too, when I tell you why I remember. This is it was on a Friday, and we played it for him in his record store there. He gets Sam Phillips on the phone in Memphis, and he played it holding the phone down to the record player, and that's when Sam Phillips said they need to be in Memphis on Monday.
That's right.
And we got in those cars, one car,
uh-huh,
and drove to Memphis, Tennessee. We drove for 2 days.
Yeah, we headed out.
And we wound up in Memphis on Monday.
No, we left so quick that we didn't withdraw from college. We just left and got all F's and flunked.
That's
we
right.
We should have.
It was all WF. And I think on Tuesday night, he let us sleep to halfway get over the trip. And on Tuesday afternoon and Tuesday night, we were in there recording, re-recording Ooby Dooby and something else for...
we were trying to... What's going to go on the back of it? And he didn't want to do Trying to Get to You because
right.
Elvis had already covered it.
Right. And
so we were trying to... Remember, I had a box of stuff? You know, I had a bunch of recordings and stuff, and we'd listen to some of those.
Yeah.
And those weren't any good. So we were trying to come up with what we were going to put on the back side.
Right.
And I remember we were warming up one time before Phillips wasn't even in there. We were warming up with Go, Go, Go. That
Go, Go, Go.
Stupid
mm-hmm.
song me and Roy wrote. And Phillips came in, what's that? What are you playing? So Phillips liked that.
Yeah.
So that's how Go, Go, Go got on the back of Ooby Dooby. I remember our first job after that, they sent us to...
Richmond.
Our first
Marie.
Show was in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, that's right.
Virginia. So we left Memphis and drove all the way to Richmond.
Yeah. And
now, who was on that show?
Well, there was a couple of unknowns. Johnny Cash and Johnny Horton, Eddie Bond, Charlene Arthur.
Was Charlene Arthur on that?
Yeah, and Sonny James. Nobody knew who in the hell these people were. Of course, they didn't know who we were either, for that matter. Because
but anyway, all of a sudden we became Roy Orbison and the Teen Kings then.
Yeah.
On the label, so that's when we lost the name Teen Kings.
That's right. Yeah, our group picture that we sold after the performances, it was listed. I mean, it was titled
uh-huh.
Roy Orbison.
Yeah.
Teen Kings, so it had to be right there.
And one of the lovely memories from that experience that I have is a grand man named Bob Neal. Love that man.
Oh, nice guy.
Everybody liked him. He was our...
Well, he ran Stars Incorporated.
Stars Incorporated.
Which was the management company and they handled all the booking.
But what a gentleman. I really liked him.
Fine fella.
Very, very man.
Sure
very good
was.
Man.
I remember Johnny Cash and the Tennessee Two were up there with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that was Luther Perkins and
Marshall Grant.
Yeah. Marshall Grant.
Yeah.
Guys.
Traveling with those guys was a real experience.
Oh my.
Yeah,
goodness.
It was.
Because we were all over Canada and the United States.
But anyway, I've got the itinerary. You know, even still have the books that I kept.
Oh,
of
good.
All those places that we played, and
good grief.
How much we made and didn't make, and all that stuff. Anyway, we started off in, I guess, Mr. Arbison's 55 Oldsmobile, and with a rack on top.
Mm.
And James, didn't your dad build a box? A trailer?
Well, we had a trailer.
Oh, we already had the trailer.
Listeners, you know, we used it a long time. But when we went out, on the road as a Teen Kings, we had a big box on top of
it. Made out of plywood.
I remember we had that.
Yeah.
And I'd have my base up there, and we'd put all the clothes that were in the clothes bags on hangers. We'd lay those up there and then put my base up there, and then we'd put the canvas top over that.
Yeah.
And then all the amplifiers and drums went in the trunk.
Yeah, I remember when we left. We left in Johnny's car and Mr. Arbison's Oldsmobile.
We took
so we had two cars.
88 Oldsmobile and a
55 Bel Air Chevrolet.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then we were really rolling in the money. We were probably making, $2,000 or $3,000 a month.
Well, I remember I was making a minimum of about $500 a week.
And then
yeah,
we'd meet up with different people like
yeah.
Sonny James and
Ray Price in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Farron Young.
That was in Alabama or Georgia or somewhere.
Georgia.
Johnny Horton.
We really liked him, didn't we?
Yeah.
He was a great guy.
Yeah.
Very nice guy. He would hypnotize some of the guys.
He got me rid of insomnia.
Well, then he calls Roy to stop smoking Bass Roys for a while.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember this vividly. We played in El Paso on a Friday night, and we went over to Juarez and ate. And then Saturday night, we played the Big D Jamboree
Big D
in Dallas.
Jamboree.
Right.
And then Monday night, we played in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario.
Sault Ste. Marie, Canada.
So we were in three countries in 3 days.
Oh, my goodness.
There seemed to, I don't know, you know, what your guys' thinking was, but I was kind of put out with Roy a little bit because of the go-go-go. Came out that he was the writer of it, and I wasn't given any credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the first strain that happened between Roy and my relationship. And I don't know, you know, what was in your guys' mind.
Well, I, at the time, about the time you were beginning to get a little bent with the situation, I could see the writing on the wall. I didn't realize that what it was at the time, but the minute Sam Phillips decided he wanted to push a name and not a band.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Because Johnny sang, and so did I. Roy just happened to be singing the songs that we recorded when we recorded at that time. And the thing of it was, when he changed that, when Sam and him got through working on Roy, keeping in mind we were awfully young at the time.
Right.
What started happening is it was no longer, I mean, like we were expendable. And the money started changing.
No, it didn't change. It was split evenly all the time we were together.
No. It was going to change. That's when Sam told us it was going to change. And what I couldn't believe is that Roy was going along with it. But like I say, we were very young. And they told Roy they was going to make him a star. Which they didn't at that time. Roy had gotten big later, but what got me is like we had worked our butts off, and all of a sudden the rest of us were kind of, you know, didn't make any difference whether we stayed or went. And that's also about the time that you found out, Billy, that you didn't get writer's credit on Go Go Go, and I think you and I split, and then Johnny and James split.
I remember it vividly. What happened? We were just kind of. And a conspiracy, I guess, against Roy.
Might be, yeah.
We'd made up our mind. We had a lull. We'd finished up a tour. Didn't have anything else booked. It was in December. And I remember we were at Sun Records studio. And we had it all planned out that when Roy was gone, we were just going to cut out. And I remember Sam Phillips and Roy was that little cafe next door that they used to go to. And we loaded up and... Or were already loaded, and just pulled out without saying a word, and always felt bad about that.
Well,
it's just not a way to sever a relationship, especially you know since we were all friends. I had always felt bad about doing that.
Yeah.
Well, the thing it is, we pulled out. I didn't feel bad about it at all. I did regret doing it that way. I always thought I should have told them what I thought. You know, at least done that for myself as well as them. But. What was really funny is, like, later on, when my wife and I were living in Odessa, there were when Roy and Claudette were, when they'd get destitute down there in that part of the country, they'd come and stay with me and Chris.
Uh-huh.
And for, you know, sometimes a couple of weeks at a time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got friends with Roy again.
Yeah.
Yeah, even played music together. Yeah.
I remember... I hadn't seen Roy since that happened, and he was playing in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You ever heard of that place, Jack?
Yeah, I kind of know about that place.
Anyway, me and Bob Blackburn drove up to Albuquerque from Wink there, and that's when I went up to Roy and apologized for what had happened. And we had a real good time. We had a lot of laughs. And you know how Roy likes to laugh.
Yeah. Well, you know what's really funny is, like, I'm not really sure how he and I got back together. All I know is that it was, like, because we never talked about it.
Mm.
But I'm not really sure how it evolved. I might think of it someday, but I'm not really sure how it evolved. But it was more than once. It was two or three times that he and Claudette would stay with us there in Odessa.
Well, I remained... in contact with him mostly by phone over the years.
Yeah, I knew
you did.
Every now
and then we'd get together, and sometimes I'd meet him at Vegas or Reno.
I talked to him a time or two on the phone after 63. I just now remembered that.
And whenever he toured up in this part of the country, I'd usually take off work and just tour along with him.
Mm-hmm.
He did that a couple of times when he was up here. And last time I talked with him was he played up here, and I don't know whether it was a month or 2 months before he died.
I remember
he said that he'd hired himself a physical trainer, and he felt the best he's ever felt in years and years. It was really a shock to me when I heard that he had had that heart attack. Wasn't it in December?
I think it was.
It seemed like it was in December. It's like it was about a month or two or three after I'd talked to him last. Well, how long was it, gang, after we had our band there in Odessa that they were all, or it seemed like there were young boy bands all over the place?
Well, West Texas was kind of a breeding ground for talent. I mean, Buddy Holly came out of there.
Holly kind of started about the same time we did, wasn't he? Because
no.
I know he was in competition with us as far as record sales and on the charts.
Well, he started making public appearances after we were real big in that part of the country. And we were on the same show with him one night.
I don't really remember that.
Yeah, was it a football stadium or something?
Yeah, did he sing Blue Days and Black Nights? Was he the one that sung that on the show there?
You know, I can't remember. All I know is that he was on before we were. We were headlining the show. And it was a football stadium.
Oh.
And Holly was coming. It was on before we were, but we couldn't go watch him because we were getting ready to go on ourselves.
I don't remember.
And that's the first time I'd heard his name.
Where was that? Was it in Lubbock?
You know, I can't remember. All I remember is that it was we were playing at a football stadium.
Yeah, I want to say it's one in Odessa there, close to the Odessa Junior College.
I think that might have been it.
You know, I guess the football stadium's still there.
I think it is.
Yeah. I think that's where it was.
Oh, James, we left out the most important place that we played.
Where's that?
The Crane Sand Hills Jamboree.
You know, I mentioned rock and roll wasn't around at the time.
Rockabilly.
Yeah, well, they eventually got to calling it rockabilly. We didn't really know what it was at the time.
Yeah, there wasn't a name for it.
Yeah, and I got to thinking, because we ran into all of this stuff while we were touring, and I got to thinking, Bill Haley, Elvis, Chuck Berry, the Teen Kings, and R&B music, and jazz, and country. And rock and roll was really kind of a combination of all those things, and we were, as it turns out, and you don't realize these things till later, as it turns out, we were one of the original ingredients in the formula that made rock and roll. So I always kind of thought that we had our little part in contributing to it, and I wouldn't trade anything in the world.
Oh, no, it was a great experience.
I wouldn't.
Because we kind of made a mark, you know? And whether we got big or whether we didn't, and regardless of who contributed the most and who contributed the littlest, doesn't really make any difference. We made the mark.
We did participate.
Yeah.
We sure did.
And for the record, we did it without drugs.
Yeah. We did do it.
Our biggest vice was cigarettes.
Yeah, and we never did a performance with any booze in our...
I don't think I'd ever finished a beer in my life in those days, and I was the beer drinker of the bunch.
Yeah.
We were a clean group of young men.
Yeah, we were.
We were ornery, but we were clean.
Yeah.